Well, it's hard to believe, since it's still only February, really, that Lent is just around the corner. Some of you heard me speak about Lent last year, what it is. I spoke about how Lent is a 40-day period before Easter, not counting Sundays, beginning with Ash Wednesday, which is this coming Wednesday, by the way. And going up to Easter, and actually in the back of your bulletin, I did include a little bit of write-up from notes from last year so that you could, when you get home, you could refresh your memory and about what Lent is. But during Lent, Christians have traditionally focused on spiritual growth and discipline. And they've done it mainly through three means, prayer, fasting, and giving. And last year, you might remember that I spoke about the focus on fasting. Usually when we think of fasting, the first thing that comes to our mind, of course, is food. And as I suggested, that there are many other ways where we can fast. Fasting is really the practice of giving something up in order to be able to focus more directly on our spiritual growth and development. That's the point of it. Fasting is a spiritual exercise. It's not a dietary exercise. And so today, sometimes people talk about fasting things other than food, television or computer stuff, or maybe certain types of food, or who knows whatever else. And you might remember that last year I focused on a scripture from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that said, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." In other words, what I focused on was, you know, asking each one of us to prayerfully consider, when we think about fasting, if there's something that I need to give up, something that I need to fast for a period of time so that I could advance in my spiritual journey. And we prayed about that. And if you remember, some of us wrote down some things that we would fast during Lent last year. And we put them up on cards and collected them and presented them. And that's what we did last year. And it was a wonderful experience, I believe, that many of us, most all of us, participated in some way or another. Well, this year, as we come up to Lent, again, which begins this Wednesday, I want to focus on one of the other aspects of what Lent is about, and that is on the aspect of giving. Giving as a spiritual exercise or a spiritual discipline has always been an important part of Lent. Now, when I speak about giving today, I'm not talking about tithes, okay? So you're safe there. We're not talking about tithes. Tithes are important, and as followers of Christ, I strongly believe that we should be following the examples of both the Old and the New Testament when it speaks about the tithe. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 comes to mind. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it." Clearly, I believe that giving of our tithes is an important part of our spiritual life. It reflects obedience and trust in God, His ownership. But I have to say that giving our tithes is not what Lent is about. So when I speak about giving, I'm speaking about something entirely different. Giving to others in need, over and beyond our tithe, that is what Lent giving is about. We see, we're going to read this morning from Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 32. And it's going to talk a little bit about giving, but it also shows something else. And And if you have your Bible, you might want to follow along with me. I believe it will be up on our wall as well. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 32. Again, to think about giving. Okay, think about the context of giving. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And you might wonder, well, what are you talking about there, Norm? I don't see very much about giving. But it goes on in verse 38, and it says, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And here really is the key when it comes to giving and the exercise of giving, that the scripture there in Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you, for the measure you use, it will be measured unto you." Does God care about our giving? Of course He does. If that doesn't convince you, check out Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. A great story that Jesus told, and the conclusion was, the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And you know the story that Jesus told, and likewise those who didn't do were just as much reprimanded as those who did do and serve the king. The truth is that many times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are told to give, to care for those in need, that we are to share what we have, that we have been blessed, and this is the key, that we have been blessed in order to be a blessing to others. If we can understand that concept, we would do well, that we have been blessed in order to be a blessing to others. In fact, the one who's condemned in the scripture is the one who keeps the blessings to themselves. The clearest story of that is in the scripture in Luke chapter 12, the story of the man who had an abundant crop. Instead of thinking of others, instead of asking how he could bless people in his life the way he has been blessed, he only thought of himself. He thought he would build bigger barns so he could enjoy everything for himself. His conclusion is in Luke chapter 12, verse 19. He says, "And I will say to myself," after he has built those big barns, "you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." That was his conclusion. God's conclusion was a little different. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And so you can see that while we look at ourselves, while we look at our blessings as a gift from God for us, what God sees is an opportunity for us to bless others. It seems to me very obvious that God cares very much how we treat those in need. So this morning I want to talk about giving. I want to talk about giving to others who are in need. And really I want to look at three simple questions. First of all, how are we to give? Secondly, what are we to give? And third, why? Why are we to give? So how are we to give? Well, when we look at our Bibles in 2 Corinthians 9, we see that we need to give, first of all, with a right attitude. It says each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we need to give with the right attitude. An attitude of love, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of compassion, an attitude of cheerfulness. God loves a cheerful giver. How are we to give? With the right attitude. That is so, so important. Secondly, we need to give without selfish motives. Now, this is important. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? We read the same thing in Luke 6. In other words, if we are doing something, if we are giving so that we are going to get it back, Jesus says that isn't a right motive. That isn't doing anything. You're just making an exchange. If you give to those who are going to give back to you, you've just borrowed, you've just lent something out. You haven't really given. And so when we give, we need to have the right motive and not look at, well, what can I get out of it, but what can I truly give? A lot of times, our giving involves, if I give this, if I do this, what will I get out of it? You know, what do I get out of it? We have to give with the right attitude. We have to give without selfish ambition or selfish motives. And thirdly, how are we to give? We're to give sacrificially. Now, I got to say, when you give, the person who receives is grateful, regardless of how you've given. But you know what? If we are giving from our surplus, if we are giving from our extra, if we are giving from our leftovers, I mean, there's a place for that. But during Lent, because Lent really, like I said, it's a spiritual exercise, we would do well to give sacrificially, to give something that is important to us, to give something that is not so easy, not so simple to do. In Mark chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus spoke about a widow. A poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Why? They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. Now, giving out of one's wealth is fine. I mean, that's great too. But there's a place and a time when we need to give sacrificially. It's not so much how much we give, but what do we have left? What do we have to live on, as Jesus said? And if we ever wonder how to give, really, we just need to look at the example of God. You know, John chapter 3, verse 16, a familiar verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that really is a good example for us on how to give. He gave generously. His gift was costly, and it was complete. It wasn't for selfish motives. And if we want to know an example of giving, we only need to look to God. How are we to give? With the right attitude, without selfish motives, and as a spiritual discipline, we are to give sacrificially. Something that is meaningful to us. Something that has value. Well, that takes us to the second question, and that is, what are we to give? And when we talk about giving, again, our first thought turns to money. And it doesn't need to. When we talk about what are we to give, probably the most important thing we can give many people today is our time. We all have the same amount of time. Now, some of us might have more things that we put on our schedule, but we all have 24 hours a day. We all have 60 minutes in an hour. And we all have the same amount of time. It's a matter of how we use it. And one of the greatest things that we could give somebody is our time. Well, what can you do with your time? Well, with your time, you could visit somebody. You could visit the elderly. You could visit somebody who's having a rough day. You could take somebody out for coffee or invite them over for tea. With your time, you could help at the food bank. With your time, you can help with the kettles at Christmas time for the Salvation Army. That's a great way to invest some time in other people's lives. When you give your time, you're showing that someone is important. When you give your time, you're showing that you value them, that you care. And Scripture says that we need to put other people's needs ahead of our own. And one of the best ways we can do that is by sharing our time. Well, you say, well, I don't know how I can do that. I'm so busy. And really, the only way you can do that is like anything else, is to budget. You know, you can budget your time if you have to. It's like we encourage people to budget budget their finances. Budget your time. Try to set aside 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week or whatever you can do. And maybe during Lent, you might want to budget a little bit extra to give, to care, to reach out, to listen, to offer, to be there. And really, you know, we talk about the church being a place where we encourage and we reach out and we care. And really, one of the greatest things we can do is offer our time. And I am encouraged because I see a lot of that happening. Don't get me wrong. I do. I see a lot of that happening when we visit people, and I hear about different things that are happening and different ways that people are investing in others. And it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes I wish we could just, you know, we could just all share what happened and how people's lives have been touched. But one of the best ways we can do is by giving our time. Another thing we can do, another way where we can give is by offering our talents. And by that, I mean our skills. You know, are you able to do something for somebody? That often goes in with time, right? You might have the talent, but you don't have the time. So they often go together. Do you have a skill? Are you able to do something for someone else? You know, it's incredibly difficult to find help with some small tasks. But when you're unable to do it yourself, it becomes a huge chore and a huge burden. And you're afraid to ask. And yet somebody else is able to help. And if you can offer your talents, you could be a huge blessing for somebody. You know, I don't know what talents you might want to share, but if there's something you can do, if there's something you can fix, if there's something you can help out with, it would be a blessing. Our time, our talents, and of course, also our treasures, our finances. And sometimes what people need is a little bit of financial help. And we need to be prepared to share. Just not too long ago, I had somebody come into my office, and And he didn't come asking for any help. He did not ask for anything. But during the course of our conversation, as I was talking to him, I found out that, you know, there were some hard things happening in his family right at that moment. And financially, it was very difficult because of some circumstances that were beyond their control. And I just felt like I should help them. And I had some money that I had intended to take to the bank, and really I was too lazy to drive down to the bank to deposit it, right? So it was sitting in my pocket. And then later the day, this guy came into my life, and I thought, that's why I have it in my pocket. So I was able to bless him and help him. And I don't say that to say, well, look at how great I am, but I say that to show an example of how some giving could make such a difference in somebody else's life. And honestly, you know, it wasn't sacrificial giving from my part. I'll tell you that right now. But it was a blessing for the person just the same. So what can we give? We can give our time. That is probably as important and more important than anything, our talents. And as the Lord leads us, even our treasures. And that takes us really to that last question. Why are we to give? And I know I'm going through a lot of things today because I want to make sure we cover it, but why are we to give? And this really is the foundation. We talked about motives before. And some scriptures I want to share with you. Psalm chapter 50, verse 10. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. There are many, many scriptures that point to the fact that God is the owner of it all. When we think about why we are to give, the first reason that comes to my mind is to recognize that it all comes from God and it all belongs to God. What we have in our name really comes from God. And not only does it come from God ultimately because we are His, it belongs to God. And so while the bank might say that Norair Hadjian has this many dollars in the bank, in my mind, in my attitude, I should be saying, God has this much in the bank in my name. He's entrusted me to it, with it. And not just the bank, but also my time and my talents and so forth. And it comes from God. It belongs to God. We are stewards of what He has provided. And when we can stop thinking about what we have as mine and start thinking of it as God's, then that opens the door for us to be able to give, to share, and to care. We are to give because it acknowledges God as the owner. We are also to give as an act of obedience. And this is interesting because, you know, earlier on I read from the scripture where it says that God loves a cheerful giver, and that is true. But it's also a matter of being obedient to God and trusting in God. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, it says, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and the needy in your land. I command you, Scripture says, to be open-handed toward your brother and toward the needy. It's a command of God. And we can look at lots of Scripture that shows that God expects us, God wants us to care for those in need. And so it is an act of obedience. It is an act of trust. It is saying, God, I don't understand how I could do this, but I'm going to believe your word, and I'm going to do it anyway. It's an act of obedience. It's an act that acknowledges God as the owner. And lastly, it's an act that opens the door for God to pour out His blessing upon your life. Now again, it's important for us to remember that we don't do everything that we do in order that we can, you know, accumulate even more. That's not our motivation. But even in Malachi, God said, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. God delights in providing, in blessing His people. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9 says, "A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." And right at the beginning in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we read, "For the same measure that you use, it will be measured unto you." So it opens the door for God's blessing to come out upon His people. You know, when you think about it, we cannot lose by giving. We just can't. We can't go wrong by giving. And Lent is a wonderful opportunity for us to think beyond what we normally might think of in terms of giving and specifically look for ways where we can give a little extra. I'm not necessarily talking about money, although it might be that. Could also be time. Could also be your talents. But to go over and beyond as a spiritual discipline. And that's the important part. If we do it as a spiritual discipline, God, what will I learn by doing this? What are you trying to say to me about my possessions or my time or the skills that you have given me? How can I use these things to further your kingdom and to change myself as I do it? And so this morning I want to encourage you. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. And I want to encourage you for that period of Lent to really think outside the normal box that you might think in terms of your giving. And we are a people who give, and I recognize that. I cherish that. You know, when our youth group has the Christmas dinner drama, they don't charge an entrance fee. You know, they do have a donation jar, but they want to give. They want to give to the church. They want to say, "You guys have supported us through the year. This is something we want to give to you. We want to do for you." You know, when we open up our clothing room downstairs to the community, you know, we give. It's like, come, help yourself. We want to give. A lot of the things that we do, people within our church coming, they give of their time, cleaning, teaching, being involved in music ministry, getting involved in committees or boards, going out and visiting other people. We are a community, a church that is giving. And so really there's a lot to be thankful for. But in these next 40 days, starting on Wednesday, I want to encourage you to really focus on giving and how you might be able to go a little bit over and beyond what you might normally be doing. And look for opportunities to give. Pray in the morning and say to the Lord, "God, show me an opportunity today where I can give on your behalf, or I can give as an act of service to you." And look for that and see if God doesn't open the doors for you. And as you respond, see if God does not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out other blessing upon your life and bless you. And this morning I'm going to see if, Josh, would you hand these out to our people this morning? This is something that our district actually prepared. A special Lent season opportunity. And it talks about some suggestions on what you might be able to do this year during Lent. Ways that you are able to give, things that you could do. There's a calendar on the back that you might want to write on there how you've responded to God. And just use it as an opportunity to springboard into the season of giving and spiritual growth, really, through Lent. That's what it's about, a spiritual focus. And so that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. and trust that as we do this, God will pour out even more blessing upon your life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks this day for showing us what it means to give as you gave your Son. And Father God, I pray that for each one of us here this morning, that you would help us to take upon ourselves by your grace the gift of giving, being able to give of ourselves, of our time, our talents, and even our treasures, Lord, as you open the opportunity. I pray, Father God, that during Lent, Lord, that we would be a people that are focused on reaching out, on caring, on giving, Lord. I pray that you would just give us an opportunity each day to show your love in some way to those around us, Lord God. And we just want to give you thanks for that. We want to thank you for the great gift that you have given to us. And Father, help us to be faithful with what you have given by sharing with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.